711.
Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Welcome back to Financial Issues. We sure do appreciate you being with us. By the way, all the indices are negative territory. Yes, they are off their lows. They were a little bit worse than they are right now. They seems to be some rational thinking, if that's possible, coming back to the numbers anyway. I mean, you know, yesterday it was all about optimism between U.S. and China trade. Today, the optimism should be far higher than it was yesterday after what the president had indicated he was going to do. So I'm not sure. I don't understand why there would be this issue right now, as far as the market's concerned. If it's because of a 9-year low in December retail sales numbers, then as far as I'm concerned, everybody that is driving the market based on those numbers, you know, they need to go out and get another job. Because if they can't sift through that, I mean, they've got issues. If they're hanging their hat on retail sales numbers that have been in the tank in this ice age of all numbers for the last 6 years, holy mackerel, do they have problems. And if they don't have the ability to look at what consumers did for the month of December, forget about what they did at particular retail outlets, locations, box stores, and all those things, but just look at what happened with consumer spending for the month of November and the month of December. It's not that hard. Those numbers were published on Tuesday after Black Friday for just the weekend, or I guess it was Wednesday because Cyber Monday. Yeah, so it was Tuesday. We had this number from Thanksgiving Day through Monday. It was out there. We got the numbers from American Express, from MasterCard, and from Visa. Discover, those numbers alone gave us an indication of what spending was. I just don't understand, and I'm not going to belabor it. I'm looking backwards. I don't want to look backwards. It's just a frustration because I just, you know, it just makes me think, holy mackerel, who can you rely on? I mean, this is crazy. 844-707-5533. So right now the numbers are coming down. Dow's down about 0.5%. It was down 0.75%. So it is off its lows. It looks like the NASDAQ could be coming very close to turning positive. We'll see. But that's where we are now. The shutdown, is there going to be a government shutdown? I don't know. We'll have to see. But there's a $330 billion bill that is out there to try to stop another shutdown. And of course, it's all going to be about border security. And I'll tell you what I said yesterday in case the president didn't hear me. I know, I'm sure he didn't. But maybe today he's, you know, searching the radio dial and he's going to stumble across it. Anyway, look, the day he signs the bill, this is what I would tell the president. If I were one of his advisors, economic advisors, I would say, Mr. President, here's the deal. I think we need to have a big signing ceremony when you sign this into law. kind of like an Obamacare thing. You know, you don't have to march down the streets arm in arm. But, you know, you can have a ceremony. You can have cameras there, media's there, everybody's there. You know, you're sitting at the desk, you got your handful of pens. He doesn't do that, but, you know, you're getting ready to sign the bill. Sign it, close it, hand it off as somebody hands you another executive order. And you have to then articulate executive action that you are taking right now to make sure the wall's getting built. You've got to talk about funds you are going to reappropriate to the wall, other measures that are going to go to the wall. The measures, these measures, folks, I'm talking for the president, these measures are going to increase our border security from the 55 miles that this bill gives us to another 200 miles in total, keeping with what our people on the ground, on the border, have been asking for 6 years. That's what we're going to do. Is it going to be a nightmare in the media and everybody's going to be calling for his impeachment? Everybody's going to hate the president and everybody's going to say he's got to go and they're going to start filing. They're doing it anyway. So you have nothing to lose. All you're going to do is solidify your base. You are guaranteeing your reelection in 2020 at the very same time. That's what has to happen. So I say, in the midst of all the conservative pundits criticizing you for signing this bill, you can stop all of that by talking about the executive action that you are going to take. I think you got to do it. I think you got to do it. And if you do that, you have locked in your reelection. And along with Mitch McConnell, we need to be, if you live in Kentucky, you better be writing Mitch McConnell. Push the vote on the new Green Deal. We've got to get a vote in principle on this new Green Deal. Let's see how many Democrats vote present. They're not going to vote yay or nay on that bill. They're going to vote present. But let's make them, let's force them to do it. You know, the only few in the Senate that are going to vote yes are the ones that aren't coming up for reelection in 2 years. And there's not going to be that many that are going to go on record as doing that. Here comes our Ag Report. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market just drifts along on lack of any fresh supportive news. Most months yesterday traded in a 2 to 3 cent trading range as prices continued their range-bound journey. This week's trade talks are being closely monitored in the hopes that there will be an end to the current situation. In South America, weather watchers are keeping a watchful eye on Argentina to see if any of next week's drier pattern might lead to extended dryness in southern Argentina. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a penny lower. The soybean market suffered yesterday because of lack of any news from trade talks with China. Officials are expected to meet again today and Friday with ideas that there could be an end in sight, and if so, that should prove at least short-term supportive to the soybean market. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a penny higher. The wheat market traded higher on firming cash markets, improving export demand, and short covering. Prices were also supported on lack of farmer selling. In the overnight trade, Chicago is setting back a bit as it's trading 3 cents lower, while Kansas City is down a penny and a half, and Minneapolis is trading half a cent lower. Cotton futures eked out a slightly higher close, with March futures up 89 points to close at 69.86. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are up an additional 48 points. Livestock futures featured a sea of red ink yesterday. April live cattle were down 90 cents, while March feeder cattle were 87.5 cents lower. Lean hogs were not exempt from lower markets as April lean hogs closed down 55 cents. March Class 3 milk futures lost a little ground during the session as they settled at 14.78, which is down 7 points for the day. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 72 cents at 216.44, while selects were 99 cents lower as they settled at 212.01. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.34 lower for the day as they closed out at $63.88. This has been Craig Haug.
Up for a one-year free subscription.
Burdens. And there's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Okay, it's Rapid Fire Friday. It's time to get right back to calls. That's what we're going to do. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Robert. Robert's calling us from Texas, calling about the same stock that everybody's been calling about. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I figured that would be a topic of conversation. So, got a question. I bought that stock about 3 years ago, took a large position in it, basically for the income. Over the past 3 years, you know, that stock price has gone half of what I paid for it.
Yeah.
I need the income, and I can't live with the dollar dividend that they whacked that thing down. You know, it cut it in 54% dividend. I'm trying to figure out where I go from here, because like I said, I need the income, but I can't live with the dollar dividend. Do I go to one of the electric utilities like the UT 20, 37, or 42?
Well, the dividend's still pretty high from a percentage perspective, isn't it? I mean, when did they cut the dividend dramatically?
They cut it just a day or two before yesterday, maybe Thursday. They cut it 54%. They cut it from two, I think it was 216 down a dollar.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about where.
Now, my other point was that,
I don't know what, if you're going to get a dollar on, you know, you can get more than on that many shares if you're going to get a dollar by moving to those other, they're more than a dollar, but yeah. I don't know if it's going to work out for you income-wise. I'm all for it. I'm not opposed to you moving. I mean, and you're moving into some solid things, but and I'm not opposed to that. I'm trying to figure out how you're going to totally replace what you lost without adding more shares.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you know, when they cut it to a dollar, I'm thinking it's going to be years before that ever gets back to anything close to what it was. You know, I don't know that. You know, and my other question, I guess, is, you know, for the past year, I've tried to monitor what the executives were talking about in terms of their ability to pay the dividend. And even up till recently, they kept saying they had no issues with paying the dividend. And then all of a sudden, they just whack it 54%.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, it is. Look, I've said this so many times, and it bears repeating. One of the biggest mistakes that we make when we look at dividend-producing stocks is that we are chasing, you know, we're chasing dividends, and we usually end up with high-risk dividends. Now, you know, they've been paying the same dividend for 5 years.
Right.
And when we see that 5-year rate, you know, that generally gives a sense of security and commitment to by the company that, you know, they're going to continue to pay it, and they've paid that up until, you know, November. And so you know it was the right thing to do, but I'm thinking about, you know, if you're going to pick up $1.16, so you may move and pick up $1.16, but the underlying price of that stock is going to be whatever one you move to is going to be higher, and you're not going to get as many shares.
Right.
So you might be better with the dollar, you know, the $1.16 that you're getting, as opposed to the $2.16 or the two more that you can get, because it's paid based on how many shares you have. So your overall income could be less if you move. I don't know. I'm trying. Does that make sense?
Let me ask you.
I'm not doing a good job explaining it. But.
No, you're doing it perfect. Okay. I understand exactly what you're saying. I got one quick last question.
Okay.
That stock, it's on your broad list, but
yes.
Do you see anything in terms of longevity, in terms of that stock price ever getting back up?
No.
Because like I said, it's just gone for three years. It's gone straight down.
No, I don't. I'm not going to. I'll be honest with you. And I know I got partners that probably own that stock, you know, but listen, I shouldn't say this, but I'm actually contemplating removing all of my stocks in that sector and be done with it. You know, it's falling by way. So in 35 years, I've never bought banks. I've never bought retailers, and I've never bought airlines. 35 years, never had them on my list. Now, I've had bank preferreds from time to time, and I now have two specialty retailers on my list, things that you're not going to go to Amazon and get. But, this telecommunications sector is horrible. And there are some that I have on there that I feel safe that I could move over into technology sector. But for the most part, I don't see them. I'm not saying they're never going to recover, but they did something that is very unusual. So when a stock is dropping like a rock, it generally, for people like you, it generally becomes a kind of a thing of safety. Because companies don't cut dividends when their stocks are dropping because they're trying to stop the bleeding. And often when the stock is dropping, they'll raise dividends so nobody leaves. That's why they had a 16% dividend. They were trying to keep shareholders there. So when it's dropping and they cut the dividend, I start to get concerned.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Thanks. Yeah, I hear you.
Yep.
Can I ask you one quick last question?
Sure.
So that UT37, it's at about $13.71 per share, which is not too far from where that telecommunication company is. Would it be, and it's paying $1.32, and I know. So
right.
The amount of shares would be fairly close.
Would be.
Would that be a good move for me or not?
I think it would be a good move. I think I just tell you that stock is going to change, but I'll just give you a heads up. I will be shocked if that stock continues to pay the dividend they're paying, because I don't think it's going to get bad. It's going to be 5% or so, but I think it's going to get cut because the company that this was part of a merger. So you had one company that had a long history of paying very good dividends. You had one company that had no history. They paid a dividend, but it was always that, you know, 2% to 2.25% area. And so when the merger happened, I said, you know, they're not going to, just the culture of the controlling interest company is not paying these kinds of big dividends. And they had to keep the A share because they had so many stockholders that they had the A share. So they didn't want to do away with it right away. And that's going to take some time to unwind that, but I think they will. But I don't think that the dividend on that stock is going to be maintained. I mean, it might last, it might help you for a year or so, but I don't think it's going to last like for a real extended long period.
I know we're trying to get through this real quick.
Yeah.
UT20 or UT42, with the 42, you got a strong buy on that. What about the dividend safety on those two?
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I feel really good about that.
All right, Dan, I appreciate your help. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate your partnership, brother. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
844-707-5533. Let me go to Jim. Jim's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Good.
I've been a partner for a couple of years and came into a little bit of a reality that sort of shocked me. I turned 70 here last November and got an RMD on a Roth 401k, that I had through MetLife, and I'm calling them up on, wait a minute, what are we talking about? Well, in the aftermath, I learned that the company match was put in there on a pre-tax basis, my contribution on an after-tax basis. When it came to rolling it out of there, it had to come out. Not only did I have to take an RMD out of the thing, but I had to pull it out and put it in two different rollover positions. So in the aftermath of all that, I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. Somebody that has a Roth 401k with a company match is actually doing pre-tax and after-tax retirement contributions at the exact same time, aren't they?
No, not necessarily. Most Roth IRAs that are established, when a company, there's two things that generally happen. When a company starts a Roth IRA, they usually don't match the money going in there. They don't even match it at all. So if you want matching funds, you got to stay in the traditional. And the ones now that are starting to match are figuring out how they, in fact, can match after. It's not because there's some legal reason they can't match on an after-tax basis. It's just that it doesn't help them. So it helps a company to match in a traditional because whatever they match, they don't have to pay Social Security tax on. So it's a good thing. But when they match on a pre-tax, they're now actually matching more money to you in a Roth. I mean, I'm sorry, after-tax. They're now matching more money to you, at least on their balance sheet, than they are to everybody else. And that's where there's a problem. So generally, they don't match in a Roth for that reason. But they're the ones that are matching don't usually commingle like that. It's kind of an odd situation. So they usually match on an after-tax basis.
Well, that now you've just brought into light something I wasn't aware of, you know, and I tried to analyze it. I said, well, that makes sense from a company standpoint, but having never had a 401k, a Roth 401k prior to this, I was under the impression that it operated, you know, just like you were explaining. No, it would be an after-tax match,
right,
and
right.
It wouldn't be a RMD. But no, they figure the RMD on the full nine. So, you know, it was like, what? So, But, you know, obviously, if someone has a 401k plan or a Roth 401k, they need to consider rolling it out of there before they're have RMDs passed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you bring a great point out.
Hey, we shop, you save.
Go to financialissues.org today. Grow your money God's way.
Financial Issues Rapid Fire Friday. We're doing pretty good. We're moving through a lot of calls. We want to continue to do that for the next hour and a half. I hope you'll join us, 844-707-5533. We've got a full board right now, but we're trying to move as quickly as we can. We'll continue to do that. Let me go to Colin. Colin's calling us from Texas. Hey, Colin.
Give my call.
Sure.
So I'll just get right to it.
Okay.
I am 26 years old.
Okay.
I'm in the Army currently. I'm getting out in July. I have a Roth TSP set up through the Army.
Okay.
And when I get out, it'll have about $13,000, give or take, in it.
Okay.
I also have a Roth IRA with Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
And that has about, give or take, $30,000.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, when I get out of the Army, should I try and transfer that money in the TSP into my IRA just so I have a little more control over it?
Yeah.
I do like the simplicity of the life cycle 2050 fund.
Uh-huh.
But they said I won't be able to contribute to it. I won't have like access to it really. So I'm just wondering what your suggestion would be for that.
So they're saying if you roll your TSP in, you won't be able to contribute?
No. So they're saying if I just leave it, I won't be able to contribute anymore.
Oh, right. To the TSP. Yeah, definitely roll it out of there, Colin. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't even consider it. As soon as you're out of there, roll it over into your Merrill Lynch account and you know, continue to contribute as much as you can, obviously. But, yeah, that's going to give you a whole lot more options, a lot more control, and that's definitely what you want to do.
Okay, great. And just a follow-up question.
Sure.
Will that money in the TSP, like if I roll that over into the IRA, is that going to affect, like, the money that I can put in each year? Like, is that going to affect the limits that I can put
no.
in for a
2019? No, it will not. No. So,
okay,
no, any rollover money doesn't count against your allowable contribution. Doesn't count against that.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Colin, thank you for your service, brother. We sure do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks so much, Dan.
All right. Thanks. God bless. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mary. Mary's calling us from Florida. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My question is about a Roth for my husband.
Okay.
He's 73, I'm 69. We're working part-time. We're going to work as long as we can, at least 2 years, but we'll keep on going as long as we can work.
Okay.
I have a traditional that I'm, like, eventually, like, little by little, trying to move over to a Roth.
Okay.
He has Guidestone, and sometime in the next day or so, we hope to move that into his traditional IRA.
Okay.
And he has TM22. We're going to move the whole account into that and then decide from that point where to go. Mm-hmm. And my main question is, should he open up a Roth and then start to transfer his traditional IRA into the Roth at that point? Should we continue contributing our current incomes to our Roth IRAs? We also have a joint.
Okay.
And then what's your advice from that point on? I would
like to see you with your discretionary that you have. I would like to see you put it in your joint and just stay away from any more qualified money. I would just stick to that. I think that, you know, you lose a little bit of tax benefits, but you know what, for the freedom and what you're able to do and the fact that you've got enough things being controlled by, you know, rules and regulations, I think it would make better sense for you to begin to really kind of build up the investment account, your joint account.
Just the regular joint?
Yeah.
Okay, so even though it grows tax-free in the Roth, we're just not going to gain enough to make it worth it?
No, the only reason I would say, if you feel like that you're not going to use the Roth, you're going to be in a place where that Roth account is, you know, going to heirs, or it's not going to be, you're not going to be dipping into that for the next 10 or 15 years, then I would be okay still accumulating or allowing the Roth to be diversified to take advantage of the tax-free growth by creating a portfolio that has growth in it, you know, that it has opportunity to grow. But if it's something that you think you're going to be using in the not-too-distant future from, to help supplement your income, then I would probably stick to the joint account.
All right, that really clears it up.
Yep. And the nice thing about the Roth is that, you know, they can get handed down tax-free, and that's a beautiful thing. But if you need it at this point, if you need it to supplement your income at some point soon, then I like the flexibility of the joint account.
Well, awesome. That's very, very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Mary.
So we're on the right track.
You're on the right track. Absolutely.
We're on the right track. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you for everything you do, Dan. We appreciate you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for saying that. God bless. Let me go to Janice. Janice is calling from Alabama. Hey, Janice.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for everything you do.
Sure.
And I just want to ask about I saw in your commentary weekend before last, I noticed that you had something in there about, you had IT-27, but I'm seeing this week it's called IT-20. I am in the process of trying to use your portfolio tracker and change everything, but it's like my husband and I went, we had a lot of problems with the stock and went out of the market. And so I have a lot of stuff just sitting there in 401k that is not earning. I mean, it's not diversified at all. It's mostly cash. Mm-hmm. But I have like 2,000 shares of this stock sitting there, and I've been watching it go up and down. It's a small cap company, and I'm like almost 70. I'll be 70 this year and with RMDs. So I'm just wondering if I need to, based on what you had said in your commentary, if I, at this point, before I get into trying to figure out what to buy and everything, if I should go ahead and sell some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should. I think you should think about moving out of that, because that's always going to be somewhat volatile, both on the upside and the downside, but it's going to move a lot, and I think it would be in your best interest to probably, from a future perspective, to try to be out of that and in some things that may be a little bit more stable.
So do you think I should sell all 2,000 shares? It's like I paid like $7 or something a share and years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's like at 23. I've seen it go up to 32, and my advisor told me not to sell it. So
yeah.
I'm not counting on him too much.
Right? Yeah. No, so. I think you ought to sell it. Rather than trying to sell a little bit at a time and take a little bit of it as income or satisfy your minimum required distribution or whatever, man, I would just, you're up 22%. I would sell it. I'd just sell it.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. The other question I have is like, one of those is a mutual fund that's like down, last time I looked was down like 17, I think it was 17%, it may have been $17, I can't think right now, but it's PTTAX.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me if I should sell that?
What did you say it was, PPT?
I think it's PTTAX, it's PIMCO Total Return Fund.
Oh, did you say PIMCO Total Return?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I know that. Yeah, I would sell it. Are you up in it, or you said you were down?
I'm down. That's why I'm wondering, like quite a bit.
Yeah.
But what I've got, all I have in my account right now, besides cash, is three mutual funds, and that's the only one that's down, and that AMD.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I would rather see you get out of the PIMCO at this point.
So at this point, just sell both of those and then just put it in cash with the rest of the cash. My guy's going to faint because he's been trying to get me to reinvest it forever.
Yeah, so I would. I would just make sure that when you reinvest it, you don't do anything like an assurance annuity or anything like that.
Oh, I'm not. I'm
yeah,
not
don't do anything that locks your money up. Yep.
I'm trying to follow your asset allocation model. And so do you mix the growth, the income? Do I buy income stocks and the regular stocks?
Well, are you going to be, using this money from time to time to supplement your income?
Probably not. I'm just paying RMDs and trying to save it for my family.
Yeah, I would.
This is a 401k I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I have combined all of that. I've been listening to you and been trying to do it step by step, but it's
good.
It's a process, and
it is. Sounds like you're doing.
And I don't have anybody to really ask except you.
Yeah. So. Well, it sounds like you're doing the right thing and on the right track. Yeah, I would sell it. Move it into cash and then begin to reallocate it.
Okay. And just keep the other ones as long as they're doing good, I
yes.
guess.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. I sure appreciate your partnership, Janice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. 844-707-5533. We've got lines open.
844-707-5533. We've got an hour and 15 minutes to go. We're going to get to your call. Just get in the queue. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
A trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Queue your call up. We've got an hour and 15 minutes left, hour and 10 minutes left. We are going to get to as many calls as we can. So keep trying your call. Let me go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Dan. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Mark.
I am just looking. My asset allocation model now calls for some REITs.
Okay.
And I've never invested in REITs, so I just want to know if there's anything unique about them as opposed to other kinds of stocks that need to be aware of.
So, no, I mean, they're very, very, sector-oriented. They're strictly real estate. They're all different aspects of real estate. But, they're designed to share income. I mean, that's what REITs are designed for. It doesn't mean that they can't get growth. I would say that the odds of them growing in value are probably slightly higher than they would be in utilities, but they can have bigger falls, which is unlike utilities. So they can, there's more opportunity for gain. And there's more risk of bigger falls with volatility. But they're not designed, I don't believe, everybody out there would disagree with me on this in the financial world, but I don't like to buy REITs as a trading vehicle necessarily. I like to buy them as a stability piece in the sense that you're kind of consistently, four times a year, twice a year, monthly, once a year, whatever, you can count on and depend upon the income. Unlike stocks that produce income where it's dependent upon the board of directors to declare a dividend, REITs, it's part of their goal, it's part of their objectives of their fund to share income. They are built on a platform of collecting income. That's what they do. They own real estate. They rent it out. They lease it out. Or their hotels or their hospitals or whatever they are, that obviously generates income for the portfolio, and they share that income with their objective is to share that income with their stockholders. So, that's just a little bit about REITs. So they're much more income minded. But, I don't think I have to go into the detail of what you ought to stay away from, because if you're following me, I'm already staying away from those things.
Gotcha. So would you not be concerned if it dropped in value because it is paying an income?
No, you would not be concerned. Exactly. That's and you wouldn't get excited when they go up. So it's just it's the same principle as I always talk about for the income in investing. Definitely.
Okay, fantastic. That's what I needed to know. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Glad you called. That was good stuff. Thanks. 844-707-5533. We got a line open now. Let me go to Gary. Gary's calling us from Texas. Hey, Gary.
Morning, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Good. I want to talk to you about CD54.
CD54, yep. Okay.
Been down a good while, and do you see it coming back?
Man, I'll tell you, this is one of my thorn in the side stocks, and probably it's for you too, but it has been really, really tough. I think I really like what they did for fourth quarter in the sense that they got rid of
the declaring of a lot of their junk, their pain, their debt, their capital spending, and so on and so forth. And they got rid of a lot of that. And I think that was, very good. I'm glad they did that. They did have a better, they're still kind of in the midst of it until the end of March, but they did have a better season because they are seasonal. They have expanded their marketplace in government and local law enforcement. So they have expanded that market share, and that's been very good. That's primarily in their ammunition side of things. So that's been good. So they've cut their portfolio of product. I think they're going to continue to do that. I think as they continue to do that, it's going to continue to hurt the value of the stock. So I think we're going to see more downside movement before we start to see a turnaround. It is still a microcap company, so it is volatile, but they do have enterprise value of over, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to say over I don't want to say well over, but I know it's over $1 billion compared to the market cap. But believe it or not, at this price, I'm trying to get it up on my screen. I'm struggling here. But at the price that, even at this price that they are now, they are still what I would consider for what they do overvalued. They're still very overvalued. And that's a concern. I don't think they have any chance in 2019 of, I shouldn't say any chance, possibly end of fourth quarter, to start seeing that valuation getting in line. I think they've got to get some of their debt issues worked out.
Mm-hmm. So it's a long-term hold.
They are a long-term hold. I would tell you that there is a possibility that I might say in the next, I wouldn't be till after the end of March, but there's a possibility that I might say sell. If I do that, I'm going to do like I've done recently with another stock that was a consumer staple, where I said not only sell it, but move the proceeds over to this company. And that stock that we sold, in that case, still dropping, the company that we moved into has been up dramatically. So I'm looking for the same sector. I'll be looking for the same sector that is down, that's got a better shot of you gaining back what you've put in. Quicker. So if I put a sell order in on it, it's going to be a shift. I'm going to say sell it and buy this, but yeah. I'm not ready to do that yet. But for now, it's a long-term hold.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, appreciate it.
Yep. You're welcome. I'm glad you called about it, Gary. Thank you.
God bless.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533. We've got two lines open. We're going to have three if I take another call. I'm trying to think if I should. I guess we'll have time. Let me go to Steven. Steven calling us from Louisiana. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a partner, and I've been around for a while with you, and this may, it seems like I should understand this a little better, but when I'm looking at the earnings per share, and then I look at a dividend on a stock. If I see earnings per share are like in a minus number or way lower than what the dividends are being paid, can I just kind of look at that and say, like, well, that's like this company spending more money than what they're actually paying out?
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't
simplistic?
Say, no, yeah, you can't say that about the earnings per share, because earnings could be negative because they're not selling stuff, you know, that they're not getting, I'll just use a store as an example. They're saying, you know, their foot traffic in their stores are down, or they sell a luxury item and people aren't spending money on luxury items, or they're, you know, in a you know, an area that is saturated with competition, and they're starting to struggle a little bit. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon. It's more common to see those negative earnings per share on a long-term consistent basis in micro caps. You know, that tends to be. But you can't take that necessarily as an issue of spending. You know, it may be a company that is spending less in this quarter than they spent last quarter, and they still have negative earnings. And they have less debt this quarter than they did last quarter. They still have negative earnings. You can't just, there aren't any, and I just say this for everybody, there really isn't any one number or two numbers even that you can look at, you know, as standalone numbers that are telling you something significant. Anything that is negative is negative. I mean, it's negative for the company. It's negative for us that own the company. I mean, you don't like to see negative earnings. But the story behind that is usually can be very different than what one or two numbers can show you. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, so
yeah, I mean, I know I'm probably trying to just make it way too simplistic.
Yeah,
I guess the reason I'm even asking this is the question that people have been hammering you with all morning is the TL25. When I look at it, it's like minus $1.50 per share earnings, and their dividend is $1 a share. And, and there's a couple other ones that I looked on that I have on purchased over the years, and one of them is like UT20.
Well, the company I was just talking with the other caller, is a negative $10 per share, and they don't pay any dividend. So, I mean, but at the same time,
and I'm a dividend investor. That's all I.
Yeah, right. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that. I look for trends, long-term outlooks, but I look far deeper than that. I'm looking at debt and financials and all that, which sometimes is very unrelated. But if they're micro caps, then it can have a much deeper impact and effect than a small cap. We got to run. If you've got to leave us, I hope you have a great day of worship on Sunday.